Welcome to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with your host, Lucas Carlson. From Docker and Linux containers to programming languages and web frameworks, we interview technology and thought leaders around the world every week. This week's interview is brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud, the world's fastest self-service enterprise-grade cloud.
Sure. Welcome. This is Lucas Carlson from the CenturyLink Labs podcast. This week, I have a really, really fun guest for us to talk to. It's Colin Humphreys from Cloud Credo. And Colin is a guy that has really been somebody I've gotten to know over the last few years in the Cloud Foundry community. In fact, I got to know him because I was trying really hard to hire him when I was running AppFog, which got acquired by CenturyLink. And I wanted his help with Cloud Foundry. And details didn't work out at the time, but I've stayed friends with him, and he started his own company around Cloud Foundry, which we're going to talk about today. And I'm really excited to have him because he's a real thought leader in the platform as a service space. And what really excites me about what he's working on specifically is that he's actually trying to bridge between the Docker world and the Cloud Foundry world. And we're going to get into that soon. But Colin, can you tell us about yourself and give us a little bit of history?
Thank you very much for that introduction, Lucas. I appreciate that. I'm not sure if being classed as a thought leader is necessarily a compliment. We'll see how that one goes. But yeah, thank you very much for the intro. So yeah, my history, my background, I've kind of alternated between development and operations for a number of years, something like 15 years now. So I've been a technical architect, I've been a developer, I've been a sysadmin, I've done a whole bunch of things. I'd largely distill my background down into very clearly to have given me applications and said, make these things run at scale. So that's really what I've done. And that's why I became involved with Cloud Foundry. And obviously, we worked together at AppFog. And that experience, that requirement that's met me throughout my entire career of people saying to me, Colin, can you take this software we developed, this application, can you help us with the application, and then can you be responsible for taking that and making it run as a service, making it run at scale? That's very much where I've been, what I've been trying to do, and that's led me to forming Cloud Credo to help people with that problem. And amazingly for me, I'm the CEO of Cloud Credo, which is simultaneously terrifying and really exciting. It's like all the things I wanted to do, I can now do. far fewer controls around what's going on. So it is quite terrifying, but at the same time, it's really, really exciting. And I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, and Cloud Credo is going remarkably well, given that I'm at the helm. Amazingly well, some might say. But yeah.
Awesome. Can you tell us about Cloud Credo and what it does? What's the purpose of the company?
So Cloud Credo is a services company based around helping people get value from Cloud Foundry and from Bosch. So we help our clients, our customers, the ecosystem, we help them get value from Cloud Foundry and Bosch. Cloud Credo emerged from a project that I worked on some time ago, actually turned into the function Cloud Foundry, and it was we found a huge amount of value with Cloud Foundry. We found it was very easy to bring applications to distributed running services, and from that was born Cloud Credo, and it's grown from there. So we're helping people deliver production services in Cloud Foundry, helping people bring new data services into Cloud Foundry. We're helping out with as we say, Bosch, and doing Bosch deployments, all these kind of things. We're also building our own tool suite around the kind of things that we do. So we're, as I always like to do, we're automating ourselves out of a job by looking at the recurring things that we do and building tooling around those things.
Got it. So you do some Cloud Foundry managed services, but you're also doing some tooling. And can you explain to our audience, Cloud Foundry, the open source project, the version one of Cloud Foundry included some drivers for MySQL and Postgres and some of the database services. In version 2, is that the same? And what do you with Cloud Credo do differently than what's in open source?
So we, we help people deliver value with Cloud Foundry, whether it's the open source flavor or whether it's the Pivotal supported Cloud Foundry flavor. So Pivotal, as I say, they deliver this product around Cloud Foundry V2. Cloud Foundry V1, as you said, had some built-in data services, and that was a weak link to many people in Cloud Foundry version 1. They found those data services difficult to use, certainly difficult to productionize. And in Cloud Foundry version 2, the data services have been abstracted behind a services API, something called a service broker that's there. And the data services, you could say, for better or for worse, they've kind of abdicated that problem into it. And I think that's actually been a very wise choice. I think, and I should hopefully talk about this at some length, I think Cloud Foundry and Heroku and passes of this nature have essentially solved the stateless application problem. So with stateless applications, you can push it into Heroku, push it into Cloud Foundry, push it into a PaaS, you can scale it up and down. You can do all manner of clever things with it, and it's a great experience. I think we should look at Docker and other technologies and how we can try and deliver as good an experience for services, because I think the services question, and by services I mean stateful services, the stateful service question is a very challenging one, and I don't think it's being solved well at the moment.
Got it. So you brought up Docker, and you actually happen to be the major bridge builder between the Docker and Cloud Foundry ecosystems. How'd you get into that position, and what's the state of that right now?
Okay, so I'm not actually sure how I got into that position. Actually, I'm very noisy. I'm exceptionally tall. I turn up at conferences and shout at people. I'm well known for doing these kind of things. And also, but because of my situation in this company, effectively it's very difficult for me to be sacked. So I have a habit of just doing whatever I think is right all the time, and then not really caring so much about the consequences. I can try and do the right thing. I think people who operate in an environment with more fear, so would look at Cloud Foundry or look at Docker and think, oh, are these things competitive with each other? I think if you look at them, if you're working on, say, Cloud Foundry, you think, oh, is Docker going to replace my job? Or if you're looking at Docker and thinking, maybe I should focus on that fear. And I thought Cloud Foundry has some absolutely amazing features, but also a couple of weaknesses. And Docker has it, but also some weaknesses. And I felt we took these two things and we pulled them together, we'd actually have a really effective, compelling solution for a lot of use cases. So I've been fortunate enough in the past to be, I've worked with containers on Solaris and I've worked with ZFS, and I can see a lot of the kind of like the things there, the parallels between that kind of environment. I found you very early on. I saw a huge amount of value in the combination of the two. And I think the status update, and give you an idea of what we've been doing with Docker and with Cloud Foundry. So we did a prototype. It was demo-driven development, which I'm a huge fan of. Demo-driven development for how do we get Docker, Cloud Foundry, put them together. So we showed that working. We had a Project Decker delivered by Cloud Credo. So you could push a Docker file into Cloud Foundry, and you could run that, scale it up and down, do the standard Cloud Foundry PaaS-related operations with a Dockerfile-driven container. Based on the learnings that we made from that prototype, I then, just last week, flew to San Francisco, met up with the guys from IBM, and we discussed and planned how we would bring the learnings from Decker together with kind of core Cloud Foundry and the newer components in Cloud Foundry. So those two are now being merged. We're actually now, the project is based around deploying Docker images into Cloud Foundry because Docker files had their own challenges. And it's very much being driven forward by the Cloud Foundry ecosystem. It's going to be part of core Cloud Foundry, and you will be able to have your own Docker images run and orchestrated by Cloud Foundry, which I'm very excited about. And I'm hugely proud that Cloud Credo have been able to be, you know, effective in pushing together this collaboration of Docker and Cloud Foundry.
That's really, really cool. So one thing that my audience may or may not understand is that Cloud Foundry has always had, since version 2, it's always had Linux container support. It's just the way that it was doing Linux containers was through a project called Warden. So can you tell, can you explain the design principles behind Warden and why Cloud Foundry chose to use Warden to manage Linux containers rather than Docker to start with?
So I'll do my very best to answer that question because it is a great question. Because people would look at Cloud Foundry and think, so why haven't they, you know, they're doing containerization, why haven't they used Docker from the outset? So I think the first thing would be a question of timing. Maybe the timing didn't quite line up. As I understand it, and this is very much based upon people recanting events in VMware at the time developing Cloud Foundry, they looked to actually, the team working on Cloud Foundry looked to use LXC, again, which was being used by Docker, for the containerization. And they actually had a lot of problems with that implementation. So LXC as an orchestration for C groups and namespaces was causing quite a few problems for them. So they actually, at that point, then chose to write Warden to meet their own use case. And that's where, when Docker continued with LXC, Cloud Foundry went with Warden, this effective fork in the road occurred between the two projects. I'm also very happy to say that work is currently underway to merge Warden with libcontainer entities together. So this apparent fork is now turning into a merge. The two communities will be coming back together. And it's at this point when we have we extend libcontainer's functionality to have the full functionality of Warden. That's when it doesn't really matter. In fact, they'll become the same project, so they will merge. And Cloud Foundry will be using potentially libcontainer beneath to do the container orchestration.
Wow, that's really cool. So can you talk to us about when you personally think it would make more sense to use Docker containers individually, and when would it make more sense to have Cloud Foundry manage Docker containers through the Decker integration that's now an official part of the Cloud Foundry project?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, it's a question of whether or not you've got access to something to run and orchestrate the containers. I think with this integration, if you're using the containers and you're employing the patterns of a 12-factor application in your containers, so they're stateless containers, it becomes, to use the phrase, it's a no-brainer to just take those containers, push them into Cloud Foundry, route your traffic to them, scale them, and work with them, because it's so much easier than trying to run your own distributed system with containers. I think if you've got state in those containers, or you're trying to run data services, then it becomes far more challenging.
What do you think about all the pure Docker micropasses, things that were kind of born and bred within the Docker ecosystem, like Deus, Flynn, and Doku? How do you see those comparing to something like Cloud Foundry?
Well, I have to say, first of all, I've had limited interaction with these. I've deployed some of them. I've worked with a couple of a little bit, but it's not really 100% right for me to comment on these projects. But having said that, I think Docker is kind of a micro pass. There's less of a distributed kind of question. I think Flynn is interesting because Flynn's trying to take a look at that stateful problem. So I'm actually very interested by Flynn and trying to things they achieve or trying to achieve. But I think it's very much early days for Flynn. Looks like it's not that mature as yet. Deus again, theirs looks fascinating, and I'm amazed at the things that they've achieved as a smaller project. But I do seem to see these as a container passes, and I see at the moment they may have a slightly more mature ability to host Docker containers. The Cloud Foundry is going to be the way you want to go to orchestrate and schedule those containers.
I see. So you see that Cloud Foundry is kind of like the batteries included platform as a service, and the micropasses are more for smaller teams that don't might not need all the batteries?
I think so. I think it's a matter of what gets you to where you need to get to with the least work and the least effort. So batteries included is maybe kind of one analogy. I'm not sure. Like Cloud Foundry, I think, does offer what we can truly say as platform as a service, as I think Heroku does. I'm not sure some of these micropasses can really. They're tools rather than delivering something as a service.
What's your take on OpenShift and what Red Hat's doing?
Ah, okay, OpenShift. Interesting. So I do have to ask here, am I able to swear in this podcast? Because OpenShift has an extraneous F. So I just want to be clear, my background is Red Hat. I'm a Red Hat certified architect. And I have been for about 10 years now. I'm one of the first. I think I was number 7 in Britain, about number 50 in the world. So my background is very much Red Hat focused. OpenShift is an awful PaaS. I say this because I've tried to put it into production. I tried to put it into production for a large charity client in the UK. We tried to run Cloud Foundry with OpenShift. Cloud Foundry worked and OpenShift didn't. And it's that straightforward. So I tend to speak badly about OpenShift because I've got real production experience and it's absolutely let me down. The scaling potential inside of OpenShift is awful. And it feels like it's being built as a bunch of scripts by sysadmins playing around with development.
Those are some tough words that you have for OpenShift. Do you think that they're going to, that the project's going to get better? Like, OpenStack came out in the early days and the software wasn't that great, but it's matured quite a lot since it started. Do you think that OpenShift is going to have a similar trajectory? I know that they've adopted Docker long before Cloud Foundry did, so do you see any improvements coming along?
I think OpenShift will either go away or will change to be something that's not like OpenShift. With the pressure they're putting now on Atomic and Gidian, these kind of tools around Docker, I think OpenShift is going to migrate to just being if it stays alive, it will migrate to just being a Docker-only PaaS. I think their application story isn't particularly good. But equally, I think it's a poor orchestrator compared to something like Diego inside of Cloud Foundry or Mesos. So my honest opinion is that it's just going to, because Red Hat are a fantastic company. They've got some absolutely great people over there, Steve in particular.
Pivotal themselves do managed services for Cloud Foundry. So in what way is Cloud Credo competitive? Or you said that you can work on top of the Pivotal Cloud Foundry stuff. Can you explain to our audience, why would they pick Cloud Credo over going directly to Pivotal, or would they use both, and how would they use both?
Pivotal have a run.pivotal.io service, which is their kind of try before you buy for their Pivotal product, which is maybe it's a trial environment maybe for enterprises that are seeing how it goes. I perhaps wouldn't run that a production application in that. And again, they then have this product that you can install into Pivotal Cloud Foundry. So we're able to customize it, add build packs and services and these kind of things. And again, that you can deploy that Pivotal Cloud Foundry. So if you're an enterprise that wants the full support from Pivotal to have that guarantee, the Pivotal Cloud Foundry product is there. If maybe you want to try it out locally, you want to experiment before you go into open source product, But we do recommend that if customers want to go to the take their applications into production and really lean on the PaaS, that they use the PIP-supported Pivotal CF product.
Got it. So what do you think the future is for Cloud Foundry? And I know that you're on the Cloud Credo is actually on the Cloud Foundry Foundation. So how is the future of Cloud Foundry going to be impacted by the creation of the foundation? And what is the future of Cloud Foundry?
Firstly, it's great to hear the big companies lining up behind Cloud Foundry to give it their vote of confidence. So as somebody, and I'm sure you feel the same way, as somebody who's been involved very early on in Cloud Foundry, it kind of vindicates, validates our thinking that there's great value in Cloud Foundry and in PaaS. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. I think the Cloud Foundry Foundation reduces the risk to, now every business that gets involved and joins the foundation, it reduces the risk for each of them because they feel there is a stable platform which they can build, and no one company is going to take the code base and go and do, you know, go rogue with it, go maverick, do crazy things with it. So I think the risk is being reduced. I think the reduction of that risk may potentially come at the cost of velocity. So I think the stability will increase in terms of the code base, is volatility will decrease. But I think the velocity, the ability to change because of the governance and the structure provided by the foundation, we may see there's less change in Cloud Foundry. I think that's, Cloud Foundry has matured. I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think having a stable, well-known product is good. I think the interesting thing that the foundation brings about is you've seen the emergence of the real big players in the Cloud Foundry world. So we're seeing obviously Pivotal themselves, IBM, potentially others get involved. And I do think, based upon my experiences, that what we're starting to see is the emergence for PaaS that you run yourself, or PaaS, you know, on-premise or hybrid cloud. We're seeing the Cloud Foundry has essentially won this battle. And what we're going to see is not a question now when people used to say, oh, you're doing big data, what are you using? And then someone might say, oh, I'm using Hadoop, or they might say something else. And now when you say, oh, I'm doing big data, people would say, oh, which Hadoop distro are you using? And I think what we're going to see is a similar thing with Cloud Foundry, where people are going to say, oh, you're using PaaS. Rather than which PaaS are you using, Cloud Foundry, OpenShift, whatever, it's going to be, oh, you're using PaaS, which distro are you using? And there will be Pivotal distro, IBM distro. It becomes a question of which distribution of Cloud Foundry you're using, rather than anything else. And that's just my opinion. And I think clearly Red Hat may have something different to say about that. But my opinion is that's the way it's going to go. I think Cloud Foundry's kind of won this battle for the 12-factor app hosting PaaS, and I think we're just going to see distro wars now on Cloud Foundry, rather than Cloud Foundry having to compete with other PaaSes.
Got it. And what do you think about the state of the platform as a service market in general? Not just the Cloud Foundry stuff, but in general, how do you see platform as a service maturing or changing, or what's your commentary about the state of platform as a service in general?
Yeah, I think it's in a fascinating area. So I think Heroku came along, blazed the trail. I think Heroku showed us how things should be done. I think the user experience on Heroku was fantastic. So I've had a number of experiences where I've said to developers, I need to have I need this app to be made for me, and they'll provide me a demo, and invariably it will be on Heroku. So they solved that part. I think Heroku had it right for developers. I think Heroku then effectively ignored business and operations. So you need to appeal to multiple parts in the company. Like DevOps, I think, should be biz DevOps. Heroku answered the question for developers. I think for operations, there is no story at Heroku. There's just nothing there. So what happens when you want to customize it, when you want to provide an SLA around it, when you want to do certain things? There's just no story. On the business side, if you try scaling things up on Heroku, it gets very expensive very quick. Total cost of ownership can be really high. So I think Cloud Foundry met that challenge head on and said, okay, we're going to take that winning experience for developers and we're going to provide a compelling journey for operations and for the business, so you can deploy it where you want, you can do the things that you need to do beyond just simple development. I think Cloud Foundry has done, I think, really won that battle, really taken that challenge and gone with it. I think the two things that are emerging for the future, the first one would be, in my opinion, containers as a service. I think that's different to platform as a service. I think you push applications into platform as a service. I think containers as a service is a slightly different layer, maybe a layer down. I think Cloud Foundry can meet that as well as an orchestrator, but I think we're seeing different micro-PaaSes and various flavors of PaaS or containers as a service, CAS, come out. I also think that the big challenge, as I said, around state, want to have a state. That's why there's a few projects around there that are very interesting. But yeah, I think the future battles are going to be around containers, container as a service, and also a stateful platform as a service.
And are there any other projects right now that you're excited about that you're watching closely?
Yeah, so Jago is the new scheduler inside of Cloud Foundry, and that is a really, really interesting project. And this brings around the concept of scheduler wars. So I think we're going to be talking around Omega-based schedulers, Diego, Mesos, what's the best way to schedule and orchestrate workloads? I think this has been highlighted by the change within Cloud Foundry, but also the containerization revolution that's happening. It's not a question of how do we make containers. It's a question of how do we schedule those workloads and make them run in the right places. So that's where I think Diego is a really, really interesting project. I think Flin is very interesting. Flin, Kubernetes, also Flocker, which is a new project for doing stateful Docker containerization management. So these attempts to create a container as a service with state behind them are very interesting to me. I think there's so many challenges in doing that, so many challenges around the data, cap theorem, how do you do availability versus consistency with that data. That's absolutely fascinating to me. I have to say projects like OSV are very interesting. I think we are looking at a situation in which, with the new landscape, so PaaS, containers, Docker, and containers having a contract with the kernel, that a lot of the current tools that we use really aren't fit for purpose. You look at the Ubuntu operating system and the Linux kernel, and you think, we are pushing this beyond what it was designed to do. This was designed to run, you know, a single server with some services, and now we're running these things, you know, in a way in which I'm not sure they were designed to run. They're arguably not fit for purpose. So I think we're going to see perhaps custom kernels emerging to run Docker on that have better security rather than, you know, so when you have root inside a container, you won't really root on the machine, and it actually is a more compelling story around that. And also I think we're going to see more things like OSV where you have special purpose operating systems designed to run in containers that are not trying to be Swiss Army knife like Ubuntu, but are trying to be single purpose to run one thing well. So I think we're going to see a lot more tools emerge from the container revolution, things that are more fit for purpose than just the standard Linux kernel and the standard, say, Ubuntu or Red Hat operating system. I'd have to say fascinates me a huge amount still is Bosch, the deployment tool that's used for Cloud Foundry, something to lay down a stable, firm baseline on which you can deploy orchestration and schedulers, you can deploy containerization. I think Bosch is it's a few years old now, but it's an absolutely amazing project. And compared to configuration management tools, I think it's absolutely light years ahead.
Great. Well, I think that's a really good list. So what's next for Cloud Credo? Are you guys ever going to expand beyond Cloud Foundry, you know, Flin support? I doubt you're going to do OpenShift support, but are you thinking about doing more than just Cloud Foundry?
So, yeah, that's an interesting question. I have to say, I mean, I've spoken about our experiences with OpenShift, so I didn't necessarily start Cloud Credo to exclusively use Cloud Foundry, and we have used other tools and looked at other things. But the reason we stay with Cloud Foundry and Bosch and support those directly is because we found they're the best tools for a lot of the jobs that we have. You've got to realize my background is Red Hat, as I said. I've used CF Engine, Puppet, and Chef in production across some really big clients. And when I use Bosch and Cloud Foundry, I think it's just a hugely, hugely better journey. I have to say, we have we did the Decker integration with Docker and Cloud Foundry. We have also produced a new tool which we're on the very verge of releasing, which is a slightly different look at Cloud Foundry and Docker, because we actually took the DEA from Cloud Foundry and Docker, and we merged them together, and that produced Decker. So now we've taken Cloud Foundry and Docker, we've merged those two together on the client side, we've produced a tool called Cloud Focker. So, Lucas, I'm trying to be serious here. Pardon me by not laughing. So Cloud Focker, and I'm careful how I pronounce that, Cloud Focker is a tool that allows you actually to run a small Cloud Foundry on your laptop to do the staging and running process, and gives you a single container run by Docker that is staged, run. You can bind services into it, you can add build packs, you can do a whole bunch of things, and it gives you an experience like Cloud Foundry, but on your local machine.
Great. Well, you might want to consider a different name, but I love the concept. What do you think is the future of platform as a service and Linux containers in general? Where do you think it's all going?
So I think what we're starting to see emerge here is a separation of responsibilities, and that's what I was trying to highlight with Decker, that there is this, you have an app creates your container that can be then scheduled and run. So Cloud Foundry at the moment, standard use cases, you have your app on your laptop, you do CF push, Cloud Foundry then takes care of both those two responsibilities. And when we ran with Decker, you could create a container locally, to do the building and the staging locally, and then push that into Cloud Foundry. So we're separating out those two responsibilities. And I think this is very much the future of PaaS service, is the separation of these two layers. I think there's debates to be had on both of them. So with containers as a service, where you have a running container, you give that to something like Cloud Foundry, or in theory to Deus, or to Flin or Fleet, or some other, something that can schedule and run containers, Kubernetes. There's then questions, what's the right scheduler for you? What about the state behind the container? How do I get to my services? There's some scheduling questions there. So that's one set of questions about the future. The other challenge is the building of containers. So build packs are just one way to get from an app to a container. And I think we're going to see battles again being fought on this front, where we have build packs, which I think are a good way of getting to a running container. I think a lot of people are now starting to see containers as virtual machines. I think that's perhaps a mistake. So we're seeing the battle between immutable infrastructure, perhaps built by BuildPacks or some other suitable tool on the one side, and then on the other side we're seeing configuration management tools being used for containers, and we teach containers like their VMs, where configuration management tools are about reducing drift and convergence. I think this is a battle we're seeing more and more. Should you run one process versus should you run lots of processes? Is it a container? Is it a VM? Should I have immutable infrastructure, or should I allow my VMs to drift? Should I be doing chef runs and puppet runs on my containers? I believe the future is very much single processes, things like OSV that are fit for purpose, scheduled containerized workloads, and things like build packs or other suitable tools being used to generate the workloads inside each individual container. So that's very much my view on the future of platform as a service. I do think at the moment platform as a service is essentially two concerns, and I think splitting those two concerns out is how we're going to actually find the right tools for those two jobs.
Makes sense. This has been a really informative interview. I really appreciate your time, and I'd love to have you back and see how the progress has gone with Docker integration and Cloud Foundry, and what that has done to the ecosystem.
Great. It's been really good to catch up with you, Lucas. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with Lucas Carlson. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, CenturyLinkLabs.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. This has been a CenturyLink production. Join us next time for another edition of the CenturyLink Labs podcast.